According to the City of Ann Arbor's Climate Action Plan, the city's greenhouse gas emissions have increased almost 20% in just 10 years' time. In this installment of WEMU's The Green Room, Barbara Lucas explores diversity of housing options, local opinions about it, and how it impacts greenhouse gases.
Anybody seen my keys?
60 years ago, the average number of people sharing a home in the U.S. was about 3.5. Now it's down to 2.5, giving us an average 1,000 square feet per person, a number that's more than tripled in 60 years. Now, with all this space to ourselves, the noise landscape of our mornings is quite different than it used to be.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being here.
Approximately 68,000 workers drive cars into Ann Arbor every day, and the average distance we drive has more than doubled in the last 50 years. With all this time spent in cars and all this living space to heat and cool, it's no wonder that our carbon footprints have ballooned. That's morning rush hour from underneath the M14 bridge. Around the corner lives urban and regional planner Jonathan Levine. He objects to forces called drive till you qualify that cause people to live far from work where housing is cheaper.
You've reached affordable housing, but not affordable living. You're spending so much time and money in transportation that you're really bearing a very, very enormous burden. In addition, you're imposing those costs on the rest of society through congestion and through pollution, through emissions of greenhouse gases. So it's all linked up.
One strategy to reducing our carbon footprint is to create more housing units in urban areas where biking, walking, and transit are options. Indeed, since 2000, over 1,000 living units have been added in downtown Ann Arbor, with 700 more proposed. We're standing at a new high-rise construction site on East Washington with Wendy Ramson, city planner.
The biggest objection in Ann Arbor is that visually it's different. This is a town that has really been low-rise, a lot of historic buildings, and so to some it's a very jarring visual change, but there's also concern about parking, there's concern about shading of tall buildings, particularly when they shade buildings to the north.
The city's A2D2 initiative attempts to address downtown livability issues through zoning and design guidelines. But not everyone wants the population within the city's limits to increase in the first place. Writer Bertie Bunnell moved here from New York City over 30 years ago.
One answer, which is pretty radical, is to limit the number of people. Why is continuous growth important? That benefits business, not lifestyle, for the most part.
Bertie and others would prefer a more decentralized approach, with population buildup around employment centers that are located in outlying areas.
I hate to see farmland disappear, but it is happening.
Countywide, residential building permits are up 35% compared to last year, and it's projected that by 2040 we'll have nearly 40,000 new residents in the county. Jonathan Levine would like to see a diversity of housing options located in pedestrian-friendly urban areas.
I think that we know enough now to make any density livable. In my opinion, we ought to give up the fight against density. And we ought to focus on rendering whatever density is supportable high quality.
Quality and design are also a concern for Bertie Bunnell, who advocates keeping condos out of single-family neighborhoods.
I think condoizing a neighborhood makes it very sterile.
Real estate developer Peter Allen is excited about the options for density downtown.
I love Ann Arbor. I've been here 30 years.
On a whirlwind tour, he stopped the car at a condo complex near Carytown.
This is one of my favorite developments right here. This is 11 houses on 1 acre. Have you ever been in there?
No.
Well, let's walk in. Let me show you. This is great. Look at this. We're going to turn a bunch of tree houses.
Isn't this nice?
Hi, you're quiet. You got great views. A lot of sun. A lot of breezes.
But new buildings like this aren't cheap. Another possible option for the mix is to utilize existing housing stock by adding new living units within them. Richard Murphy works for the Michigan Suburbs Alliance and is an Ypsilanti Planning Commissioner. We took a walk from his downtown Ypsi office.
From here we can see a couple of the old historic carriage barns.
Wow, such pretty buildings.
Most of them are only partially used. This one over here actually a couple of years ago fell down partially. A lot of them are large enough that they could easily be a studio or one-bedroom apartment.
Currently, Ann Arbor and Ipsy don't allow renting out accessory dwelling units in single-family zones. Richard feels relaxing these rules would have benefits.
You'd have another person keeping an eye on things, and so might end up keeping the block a little bit safer. It would have not a whole lot of visual impact. These are the buildings that are already here, and it's just a matter of making good use of them.
In terms of sustainability, some view adding occupants to an existing building footprint as low-hanging fruit.
If you have a house that currently has two people living in it and you add a third person within that same space, you're still using the same amount of energy to heat it and to cool it.
Increased per capita energy efficiency means more affordable utility bills, a win-win. But attempts to relax the rules against these arrangements have met with backlash from neighbors. Here's city planner Wendy Rampson.
When we went through this 10 years ago, because Ann Arbor has the unique housing arrangement of student housing, the concern was that speculators would invest and then add these units as a way to get more income.
Wendy says concerns can be addressed by limiting the number that can be added in a certain geographic area and limiting the number of people and cars allowed per unit. And not everyone who seeks a small, affordable living space is a student. Jennifer Schultz and her fiancé are artists. They both teach pottery at the Ann Arbor Art Center.
Well, we're getting married this summer. We're looking for, somewhat unsuccessfully, is to try to find an affordable, small place to live that's in town so that I don't have to buy a car to be able to commute to my job. And right now we both live with housemates. And in order for us to live together, just the two of us, it's pretty hard to find a place to do that in Ann Arbor. You know, there are places to live, but they're basically one room with a, you know, mini fridge.
Near to Geneva lives Eunice Burns, former Ann Arbor City Council member. She's been at the same address, walking distance of the hospital in downtown, for 63 years. Her daughter's family lives in the main house, while Eunice lives in her former garage, which they converted to a one-bedroom apartment.
That side was all brick, and now it's, 12 feet of windows, so that I've got a wonderful view of the backyard. It's small, but it serves what I need it for.
Eunice feels the rules against renting out granny flat-type living units to a non-relative is bad policy.
It's just that when I die, and I am going to be 90 years old this next summer, at the moment they cannot rent this out, cannot get money for it. And so I think it's a shame because it would be a perfect place for, say, a grad student, a nurse at the hospital.
She sees benefits to elderly homeowners in being allowed to rent out an accessory dwelling unit.
You could get somebody to help around the house and the yard, and there are a lot of older people whose houses are just far too big for them.
When it comes to greenhouse gases, Eunice sees wasting space in our housing and wasting gas in our cars as trends we need to move away from.
There's got to be an alternative somehow. I don't know that I'll be around to see it, but I'm going to try.
Barbara Lucas, WEMU News.
For more information on housing diversity, attend the Sustainability Forum at 7 p.m. March 21st at the Ann Arbor Public Library's downtown branch. The Green Room is a collaborative effort between the WEMU News Department and the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division.